The real Jesus. He's much more than a good excuse to sell Christmas presents. He is the Lord of glory and the Lamb of God. And as that Lamb, He came to offer Himself as an atonement for the sins of all mankind. The real Jesus had a mission far beyond setting a good example. He came to transform people, not merely inspire them. And that took a supreme sacrifice. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in Hebrews chapter 10, speaking on the Jesus of the New Testament. The bottom line of Jesus coming to the earth was to offer Himself as a sacrifice ending centuries of animal offerings by Jewish priests.
You see, if these sacrifices took away sins, they could stop offering them. But the problem was they couldn't. This was all symbolic. Their salvation was wrapped up in their obedience, that's true. But it was a symbolic act. These blood of bulls and goats and sheep could never take away sins. But they were commanded to offer them. Verse 12. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Many of you who are listening to this message, no matter what means you're listening to, you belong to the Catholic faith. God bless you. God bless you. But listen carefully, because you've probably wondered now, what is really the difference between Protestantism and Catholicism? And there are many differences, but there's an important difference here I want you to point out, because I've looked at this for a long time, and I believe it is true to say that Roman Catholic theology builds a lot of its liturgy on the Old Testament, where you have priests, and these priests have special abilities. They intercede for the people, and they have the ability also to re-offer Christ. And there's another offering going on. Christ is re-offered time and time and time again, 200,000 times throughout the world every Sunday. Now, I want you to notice the contrast here between the Old Testament and the New Testament. First of all, the first contrast is many priests versus one priest. I told you that the priests were in shifts because you can't stay up all night. You can only work at this for 8 hours. That's the first contrast. Secondly, many sacrifices versus one sacrifice. Why so many sacrifices? Think this through. It's because whatever benefit those sacrifices had in the Old Testament, they could only be beneficial for past sins. Not sins that you were going to commit in the future or that your children were going to commit. That's why the children would have to bring their own sacrifice, and on and on and on it would go, because there was no final sacrifice. Listen to what the text says. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. Do you see the contrast there? Verse 12, but when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice, wow, he took care of sins past, present, and future in one sacrifice. When he did that, he didn't keep standing. You see, it was a requirement for the Old Testament priests. They could not sit down on the job. And the reason they couldn't sit down in is when you sit down, you give the impression that you're done. We've all done jobs or been working outside or something. We get so tired and somebody says, I don't even want to sit down, because if I sit down, I won't be able to get up again. So you just keep going. But when you sit down, you give the impression, well, I'm finished. Oh, in the Old Testament, you don't sit down. You keep standing until your shift is over, because your work's never done. Tomorrow's another day. But this man, oh my, he sat down, the Bible says. Don't miss the symbolism. The work is finished. It is done. Tetelestai, paid in full. That's the message of the gospel. This is good news for sinners. Now, if you're not a sinner, you don't even have to listen to the rest. One day at a retreat, a college retreat, the leader of the college ministry put up a sign on the doors of the retreat center for sinners only. And some of the college kids came and looked at it and said, well, then where do we go? Well, if you're wondering where you're going here, I mean, if you're not a sinner, then you don't have to listen to the rest of this. But I want you to notice another difference. All of the priests in the Old Testament, they offered, you know, animals, okay, that somebody brought them. This is the only instance in which, catch this now, where the priest himself becomes the sacrifice. The priest is the sacrifice. He offers up himself. And that's why we believe so strongly that all of those Old Testament rituals have been done away. We are priests, but all of us are priests unto God. We all come. There does not have to be another sacrifice. There does not have to be another reenactment or another offering of Jesus, because by one sacrifice he fulfilled it all when he came and tabernacled among us and lived and replaced the entire tabernacle with all of its liturgy. Yeah, that is good news for sinners. Years ago, I read a story about a man who was a drunk. And he somehow, in his stupor, wandered into a barn and had a sleep. And when he woke up, he discovered that there was something very warm next to him, something even very soft. He discovered that he had been sleeping next to a cow all night. And as he was there thinking about how low his drink had taken him, he wondered whether anyone would offer him anything. Is he worth anything? No, he says to himself, he's not worth anything. But the story is that while he was there in the barn waking up, he heard the bells of the church because it was Christmas morning. And he knew enough to remember that Jesus himself was laid in a manger, reminding himself that Jesus did that so that no one would ever think they have gone so low, but that Jesus in humility cannot also pick them up and by one offering also perfect them who are sanctified. Listen to you out there, you alcoholics. Jesus is able to forgive you and remove your condemnation and in the process deliver you from alcoholism. I mean, we're not talking about a Jesus here that's a paper Jesus. We're not talking about a nominal Jesus who only exists in the pages of Scripture. We're talking about a Jesus who actually changes people. Now I have to ask you, what did they do in the Old Testament? God had said, you know, I'm going to ask you to do all the worship in Jerusalem. Because you see, the tabernacle was built in the desert and so forth, and it moved around. But once it became permanent, it was permanent in the temple. And God says, that's where you're supposed to worship in Jerusalem. Well, as I already told you, the Samaritans said to themselves, well, you know, this business of going to Jerusalem is too much of a hassle. We think that God is a lot more broad-minded than that, and we're going to have our own worship over here. We're worshiping the same God anyway, so it doesn't matter whether you worship in Jerusalem or Mount Gerizim. We'll set up our own worship, and that's where we're going to do it, you know. God was not pleased, because God says, I want you to worship in the tabernacle, in Jerusalem, according to prescribed means. Now today, what do? We say, oh yeah, well, you know, I'm worshiping God, but I'm just not coming to God by Jesus, you know. There are other ways to do it. You know, I have my own way of finding God, and you have your own way of finding God, and somebody else has their own way, and God says, I'm sorry, but I prescribed that you need a sacrifice by which your sins can be forgiven, and there's only one person out there that can provide it. I'm sorry, but Buddha can't do it for you. However many good things he may have said, he can't do it for you. So it's important not only to come to the right God, but we come to him in the right way. You remember Nadab and Abihu, those seminary students who were doing an experiment with some fire that they weren't supposed to have. And they're saying, well, you know, There are different ways to get the fire. And so they entered into the tabernacle with strange fire. They were doing it on their own, and God zapped them and they died. And Aaron was really upset with God and said, "This is overkill." Pardon the expression, that was not to come out that way. God says, "You just don't come." Even in evangelical circles, you know, where they preach the Bible and so forth, you sometimes hear, you know, it doesn't matter how you come, just come. Well, it matters how you come. You come in the name of Jesus. And that's the way we come, and that's the message of Christmas. It isn't some baby born in Bethlehem who stayed a baby with beautiful stories around him. It's somebody who came in Bethlehem and became a boy and then became a man and died to become a redeemer so that he could be both the priest and the sacrifice. That's the message of Jesus and Christmas. There is a Christmas carol I like, and we don't sing it very often, but you know what? I get to choose the closing hymn, and so we're going to sing it. Actually, only the first stanza has to do with Christmas, but there's a sequence in that song right from Jesus Christ's birth right to his return. But the words go like this. Who is he in yonder stall, at whose feet the shepherds fall? Who is he in deep distress, fasting in the wilderness? Who is this Jesus? What is Christmas all about? 'Tis the Lord, O wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all. That's what Christmas is all about. Well, my friend, during this Christmas season, it is always wonderful for us to take the time to contemplate what it was like, to the extent that we can, what it was like for Jesus Christ to come in the flesh. But after studying the doctrine of Christ from the standpoint of theology and the scriptures, I do need to say that we come to a point where we cannot really probe and understand. And we should expect that. The Bible says, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." And the baby that we hear so much about at Christmas time, he was God of very God. Just imagine Simeon holding the baby Jesus and yet holding God in his arms. Of course, there was much about Jesus that the human eye could not see. All of the divine attributes were connected with him. But yet at the same time, how wonderful it is that this Jesus came to redeem us, and he came in the flesh so that we might know God personally. Come to represent us, Jesus did. He came to represent us, but also because he is divine, he is the only one who is able to bring man and God together. Well, during this Christmas season, worship him, love him, and share him with others.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluding The Jesus of the New Testament, the fourth message in his series on Rumors About Jesus. Tomorrow, we'll see the Jesus of the future. Don't miss Images of Jesus in Revelation. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Rumors About Jesus can be yours as a five-message CD series, sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.